Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
For the next several weeks, I'm going to be exploring the animal version of what Dr. Tim Elmore refers to as seven crippling parenting behaviors that keep children from growing into leaders. Elmore is referring to kids growing up to be leaders in the sense of growing up to be responsible adults that others can trust. Because this is the ideal way for us to relate to our animals as reliable reference points that they can trust, I think it's appropriate to look at these in terms of how they affect our relationships with animals too. According to Elmore, kids who are raised in risk-free environments wind up with a certain amount of arrogance and what he refers to as lack of self-esteem, but what I think of as a higher tendency to be fearful and anxious individuals. How does this combination of hubris and anxiety affect our relationships with animals? As it turns out, there are a fair number of people out there who are afraid of their own animals, although they won't admit it. Instead, they work around it. They're afraid to open their own animals' mouths, but our society and our commercial sector make it easy for them to avoid it by providing medications that are edible, and by teaching strategies such as giving animals treats if they drop forbidden objects. Of course, if they don't drop the object, or if they're so sick they refuse to eat the flavored medication, these folks are up the creek. They're unable to help their animals at a time when their animals need them the most. That same fear keeps them from being able to look into their animals' ears, or to check for the source of discharge. Ooh, that's icky. That's different. That's alien. I can't deal with that, they tell themselves. What if I catch something? They can't deal with the risk because they've never learned how to do it. Clipping mats? Well, what if the cat turns around and nails them with a paw? Or grabs them with the teeth? What then? Well, there are a lot of people out there who remove mats from their pets all the time, and they'll tell you, you'll live. And if you're smart, you'll learn to put a pair of gloves on first, so you won't be so frightened and you'll be safe. Then there are those who delay introducing new pets into the household. They delay so long because of their own fears that the new animal becomes older and more secure in his or her space, and everyone involved becomes more territorial. If the new addition was a young animal, all the advantages of being a goofy, silly kitten or puppy that lead most adults to be more tolerant vanish. What could have been a neutral nuisance or even a fun playmate now becomes a competitor. And that changes the whole ballgame simply because we were afraid to take a risk. Then we have those veterinary clinic fiascos. We dread them so much that we try to avoid them. As soon as we bring out the carrier, the cat or the little dog knows it, and before we even leave the house, we create a negative self-fulfilling process. It turns out to be a nightmare experience for the animal. It turns out to be a nightmare experience for us. All because we didn't take a risk. All because we didn't plan ahead. When we're afraid to take risks, when we've never had the experience of taking risks, when we find ourselves in a real world with all of its messy variables and some of them not very nice, we find ourselves freezing or going into a state of denial when our animals are hurt, when they develop some disease or a serious problem. We freeze. And what we ultimately learn, if our animals are lucky, is that not learning to take risks, not allowing our animals to take risks, not allowing kittens to climb a little bit higher than we think it's right for them to climb, or our dogs to play rougher than we think is right, or use their teeth when they play. Not allowing ourselves and our animals to take those risks and learn from them is a lot riskier than never allowing them to take those risks at all.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.